Have you ever thought about how changing habits and new technologies might affect the way people read books? Maybe your book? Then stay tuned to this episode because I'm going to be sharing some various things that are going on in the world that are changing the way people read and how I think it will shape the future of reading.
Are you an entrepreneur, small business owner, or consultant looking to boost your authority, influence, and impact? The Author Switch podcast with best-selling, award-winning author Karma Spence is your answer. Tune in for actionable advice, powerful strategies, and engaging interviews to turn on your author switch and take your business to the next dimension.
The Author Switch.
Hello and welcome to the Author Switch podcast. I am your host, Karma Spence, and I help executive coaches, business leaders, and consultants write, publish, and market client-attracting books. In this episode, I'm going to be peering into the future and making some predictions about how things that are going on today might affect the future of reading. As an author, this should be a topic that concerns you because it might affect how you write your next book. So first, I want to talk about the rise of audiobooks and podcasts. More and more people are listening to books rather than reading them. And the way someone experiences a book when they read it and hear whatever it is they want in their head, and how the experience is when someone else is reading it to them are quite different. Audiobooks have become the fastest growing segment of digital publishing. And here's some stats. For the past 5 or 6 years, in 2023, audiobook sales increased by 14.9%, reaching $864 million in revenue that year. The first 10 months of last year, 2024, surpassed that figure, generating $883.4 million in revenue. And that was only the first 10 months. You know that sales go up during the holidays for audiobooks, ebooks, etc. So you know that the number continued to grow. With this idea in mind that people are going to be listening to your book more likely than actually reading it, this does change the way you write your book because you're writing for ear, not for written things, which means the way you explain things needs to be simpler. And I highly recommend reading your book as you're editing it so that you know what it sounds like somewhat when it's read. In 2020, I started on the project of transferring my book, Public Speaking Superpowers, into an audiobook. I gave up on that project. Why? Because I had written that book so tightly for the written word that it was not translating in a useful, meaningful way to the audio. There was too many things I needed to hand out to people. And that was going to bulk up the audiobook and make it probably either an expensive audiobook or a not very pleasant audiobook. So I would have to write a very different book in order to turn it into an audiobook. That said, future books, I'm keeping that more in mind. But for me, because I have been a writer all my life, I'm finding that transition a little bit challenging. But at least I know what direction I need to go in and I know what to do to move myself in that direction. These are things that you need to be considering as well, because a fairly good-sized piece of your market is going to be listening to your book rather than reading it. So keep that in mind, write for ear. Second thing that's happening that's changing the future of reading is the declining attention spans and their effect on reading. Now, I did do a deep dive into this topic, and it's available in a white paper that's called The Future of Thought Leadership. I will put the link in the show notes so you can read that more deeply. But overall, yes, attention spans are shortening and books are getting shorter. But what I also found is that when someone's highly interested in a topic, their attention span grows. So what you need to be thinking about is when you're writing books and content for people who are just getting into what you're doing or are adjacent or just learning about you, make them short and easy to read. So lead magnets, that kind of stuff, they need to be very, very pithy. You go deeper once you've built up that relationship and that interest in the topic and in you. Third trend that is affecting the future of reading is the impact of short form content. So you've got TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels. All of these things are affecting attention span, and they're affecting how people will find and engage with your content. So some studies have suggested that younger generations have shorter attention spans, though this is still hotly debated because there are different things that could be skewing that. And like I said, the greater interest, the higher attention span. The lower the interest, the lower the attention span. Also, with the prevalence of screens, constant background noise, and an always-on culture, makes it a little bit harder to pay attention to a good book. I don't know about you, but I find it really challenging to read in a noisy environment. I'm too distracted. This is probably affecting these younger generations because they've always got a screen on. They've always got a screen on. And so they're flitting from one thing to another, from one app to another, to their friends, to their all these things. And then that's going to affect their ability to read. So how do you adapt your content to suit these shorter, more digestible formats? One way, and this is the way I highly recommend, is get very specific on the problem you solve in this book. In your business, you solve probably a broad swath of problems that are all related to each other, and maybe even one opens the gap to the other. That's fine. That's in your overall business. But when you're writing a book, get really, really tightly and have that book solve this one short, highly focused problem. That's your best bet for that. Fourth trend I want to take a look at is ebooks versus print books. So ebooks are growing. Print books were dipping, but last data that I saw, they're starting to level out because you've got three types of people. Actually, four types of people. You've got the type of people who will only listen to your book on audio. You've got the people who will only buy an ebook. You still have people who will only buy a physical book. And then there are people who do one or two of those. I know lots of people who will buy the physical book and the audiobook and then follow along in the physical book while they listen to it in audiobook. I also know people who do the same thing, but with an ebook. So there are people who are multimodal and will buy multiple copies of your book in the different formats so that they can digest the information more readily. Now, again, this is only applicable to people who are writing nonfiction educational type of books where someone wants to learn something to solve a problem. That's more likely to go multimodal. And the other thing is there's a demographical difference. The older generations tend to be more traditional and want the physical books, whereas the younger generations are skewing towards ebooks and audiobooks. That said, it's not a done deal. I know people who are my age who are audiobook only. A lot of that has to do with their learning style. There are people who are audio learners, they're going to trend toward the audiobooks. There are people who are experiential learners, like myself, they're probably going to skew more towards a physical book because you have that physical tactile sensation that goes along with it. And then there are people who are audio, kinesthetic, and visual. Visual are either going to be a physical book or the ebook. They're probably not going to be an audiobook. So it behooves you to have your book in as many formats as possible to reach the widest number of readers. That's the first four trends. I'm going to take a quick break. And then when I come back, I'm going to cover the next five trends that are changing the future of reading.
The future of entrepreneurial book writing has arrived. In an age where information moves at the speed of light, and innovation is a business requirement, one book stands as the North Star for the authors of tomorrow. In You Can Make It to the Finish Line, Karma Spence decodes the mysteries of writing a book that markets your business, offering a blueprint to navigate the frontiers of writing, editing, and publishing. With accessible techniques and visionary insight, this guide propels you forward so that your expertise can transform into impact. Step into your future. Transform your vision into a legacy. You can make it to the finish line, where your author's journey meets the future. Available now on Amazon.
Hello, and welcome back to the Author Switch podcast. I am your host, Karma Spence, and I help executive coaches, business leaders, and consultants write client-attracting books so that they can grow their business, and I do it in a way that makes that process fun. So before the break, I talked about the first four trends that are changing the way people read and consume books, and therefore are affecting the future of reading. In this next segment, I'm going to be covering the next several trends. I think I said four or five, but actually I think there's six here because I go up to 10 and I've only covered four, so that's six, right? So the next trend I want to talk about is personalization in reading recommendations. With the advent of and rapid growth of AI, it is becoming easier and easier for websites such as Amazon, Goodreads, and a whole slew of others to recommend books to their members and their users. What does this mean? This means that being able to tie your book to other books that are similar becomes more and more important because people are going to be exposed to fewer and fewer variety unless they go out seeking it on purpose. They're going to be fed books that are like the books they already read. So you need to be able to communicate to the places that you're publishing your book on what your book is like. And it needs to be fairly accurate because if the AI learns that I just fed you book A and the reader is like, this is not like book B at all, it's going to learn and then it won't feed your book to other people who like book B. So you need to understand these things at a deep level. You need to understand who are your ideal clients. I mean, really deeply, what are their behaviors? What are their preferences? What other books are they reading? And then you're going to need to understand how to communicate that to AI search engines. So this is Goodreads, Kindle, Scribd, probably a whole bunch of others I didn't mention. And more people are going to be buying books that may or may not be like yours. And they may not see yours if you aren't able to fit into that new marketing structure. It's affecting the reading, which affects the marketing. Next trend is social media and how it is shaping reading trends. Again, this is another one that's related to how people find out about new books. So you've got BookTok and Bookstagram. And I just was looking at Blue Sky the other day, and they have a whole book related thread. All these things have book-focused groups, feeds, etc., which means you need to be able to get your book mentioned in those feeds and get notice, which means you're going to have to start building relationships with book influencers. Yes, we have the rise of book influencers. Now, we've had book influencers ever since there were books, because you've had people who do book reviews. First, it was in newspapers, and then magazines, and then blogs. But nothing has made as much of an impact on book sales as video. Bookstagram, BookTok. Those two things have radically changed how people learn about new books. So it behooves you to get on those platforms and make relationships with these influencers so that they can recommend your book to your future readers. The next trend I'd like to talk about is subscription models and how they affect reading. Now, again, this is something that's not new. I used to be a member of the Sci-Fi Book Club. Every month they'd say, hey, this is our latest book. Do you want it? Sometimes they'd just ship it to me and then they'd take it back if I didn't want it. Book subscription services have been around for a while, but now they're getting more sophisticated. People are able to join a book membership program, but tell that book membership program exactly what kind of books they want. And then that book membership is probably, I don't know if they're doing it now, but they probably will be doing it soon if they haven't done it already. And that's getting AI to communicate with their members so that their members get the books they want. So again, you need to really get a good, strong idea of what is your ideal reader and what are they looking for and what are they reading? because this is going to affect how you show up in membership programs, how you show up on the various search engines. All these things are going to affect not only how you sell your book, but how people find new books and read them. Because if they're only being fed what they like, they may not know other things. I think this is probably something that's going to be affecting the music industry already. I mean, there are websites like Udio and Suno where you can make your own songs. In fact, I've been having so much fun with Suno. I don't listen to any other music but the music I created now. It's like, that's what I'm humming every day now. What happens when this becomes the future of radio? The same thing's going to happen to books. I know it. I know the same thing's going to happen to books. People are going to start only reading things that are like what they have, which is good for them in some way. But it also, I think it's kind of got its dark side, because it means that people aren't going to be stretching their imaginations. They aren't going to be stretching their knowledge. They're not going to be confronted with things that make them uncomfortable, which is part of what helps build critical thinking skills. So we'll see how that pans out. The next trend is gamification of reading. Now, I've hinted already that I use gamification in my training programs to help make writing a book fun. Well, gamification is starting to come to reading a book, where people get an app or a platform that uses gamification to encourage them to read. For example, Goodreads every year you put in how many books you want to read that year, and then it tracks how well you're making toward that goal. And so some people get really into that and like, okay, I said I was going to read 12 books. I'm going to read, oh my gosh, it's December and I've only read two. So they just sit down and read 10 more. This is going to affect the way people read, because people are going to, number one, if they have a high number and want to say they've read a lot of books, they're probably going to choose shorter books. So writing shorter books is going to become more and more important, not only because of shortening attention span, but also because people are going to be trying to game their gamification systems. Also, if you can add gamification into your book, you can increase the engagement with your book, which is going to increase the likelihood that someone becomes your client, or at least someone who recommends you to people who will become your clients. The next trend is globalization of reading habits. Books are becoming more and more accessible. It's becoming easier to translate books into other languages. And of course, there's these digital formats that are reaching people who may not have had access to a book before. And a lot of this literature is becoming more and more cross-cultural. So think again about who are your ideal clients. If your ideal clients are local, then globalization doesn't necessarily affect you. But you might be surprised. There might be someone halfway across the world that would be the ideal client for you, but you don't get them because you didn't take this into consideration. Books are going to become a global, I mean, they already are a global, but they're going to become more and more global, and people are going to be connecting to each other. The world is becoming smaller because of the digital space. And then finally, I've hinted at this, and this is AI in reading and writing. So there are more and more AI-generated books on the market, and some of them are probably okay. Some of them are less than okay. And this new trend is going to, it's already thrown a lot of people in the publishing industry into a tizzy. Oh my gosh. But I was in a conversation with someone. Amazon is now allowing you to do AI-generated audiobooks. If you publish your book with them, this is not rolled out to all authors. I don't have access to it yet, but it's been rolled out to some authors that they can just push a button and it will translate the book into an audiobook using an AI voice. And given what Notebook LM is doing, if you've checked out some of my episodes of Deep Dive Dialogue, that's all created by Notebook LM, where you upload a document and then you click a button that says generate, and in a few minutes, you have an entire audio a podcast that sounds like a man and a woman conversing about the document. Well, once that level of AI technology is to a single voice, believe me, audiobooks are going to be not only easier to produce, but they're going to be produced by AI. And people who read their books may have an edge. If you read your own books, if it's your voice, that is, I think, is definitely always going to be better than some AI-generated voice. But people who do voiceovers for a living might be given a run for their money. Also, there's the whole idea of writing a book with AI. Now, I will admit, I am a proponent of AI. I have experimented with all sorts of AI, and I've even gotten it to write short things like social media posts in basically my voice. And I maybe need to like massage a word here and there, because no matter how many times I tell it, I don't like the word delve. It still delves into things. Stop with the delving. And what's scary is every once in a while I find myself saying delve. Anyway, so there are limitations to AI-generated books. But as AI gets better and better, and it is, I just saw a news item the other day that talked about how AI can now create avatars of real human beings that are 85% accurate. 85%. That means you can't tell the difference between the human and the AI avatar. And that's going to affect the future of reading, because AI is going to be better at writing books. It's going to be better at doing audiobooks. However, AI will always be AI. It will always be a robot. And to really stand out in your market, you're always going to need to bring in that human touch. So yes, AI can make your writing faster, but it can't necessarily make it better, except for maybe grammatically. So there you go. 10 trends that are affecting the future. Oh, guess what? I have 5 more trends. Those are the first 10. I have 5 more. There's the decline of traditional bookstores. People are getting, I mean, I don't know about you, but the only time I walk into a bookstore and actually buy books now is if I'm going to a used bookstore. I'm not buying new stuff. If I buy new stuff, I buy it from Amazon and have it shipped to my door. I don't have to leave the house, which is particularly good during the winter months when it's really, really cold outside. So the decline of brick and mortar bookstores and the rise of online shopping is both a boon and a bane, because one thing that often sold a book was someone walking into the bookstore, finding the book, leafing through it, and deciding to buy the book. That's my experience when I go to a used bookstore. When you're online, yes, they've got the read a few pages, but it's not the same. You're not getting the same amount of information. In fact, there's data. There was an experiment done where people were given a physical thing to read, and then they had to answer questions about it. And the other half of the people were given a PDF and asked the same questions. The people who read the physical item were able to answer the questions better and faster than the people who did the PDF. Why? Because when you are physically engaging with the book, with the document, part of your brain remembers, oh, I was on page 2 when I learned that thing. And so they were able to more quickly find the information they were looking for to answer the questions. Whereas the person who had the digital, they didn't have that physical experience. And so they had to manually look for it. So it took them longer. This is going to affect the sales of books in a roundabout way, because physically interacting with a book can actually help someone buy it than if they just see it online. Next trend is the reading as a form of self-care. I read something, I'm going to be doing an article about this in next month's Right to Lead, but I read an article. There's a research done that people who read a physical book before they go to bed sleep better. So reading is actually a form of self-care, because when you're reading, it relaxes you, and then you're able to sleep more deeply and better. But the same people who were reading, same thing, maybe reading the same thing, but they were reading it on a screen, had the opposite effect, because the blue light energizes you, keeps you awake, reduces the amount of melatonin that you're producing, and so you don't sleep as well. So if you're reading paper, paper, then you're more likely to sleep better. So reading is a form of self-care. Not to mention, sometimes it's just fun. I love reading a good novel and exploring outer, for me, it's exploring outer space, sometimes the supernatural, but it's just fun and it's relaxing. And it allows people to unplug. So can you make your book entertaining? Yes, it's educational. Yes, it's solving a problem, but can you make it fun at the same time? Do that, and you start shifting your book into more than just an educational tool, but a self-care tool as well. Oh, this next trend. This one I'm kind of excited about, and that's interactive and visual reading experiences. Now, back in the 80s, they had these books called Choose Your Own Adventure book, where basically you'd read a few paragraphs and then it would present you with a decision. And if you chose A, you went to page X. And if you chose B, you went to page Y. And then you kept doing that. And depending on the decisions you made as you read the book, you had a completely different experience than if you had made other decisions. Now, something I did notice about those books is that sometimes they'd take you to the same place. Like the same paragraph would be the answer to both A and B in different points, but how you got to that page changed depending on how you made the decisions. I don't know about you. I actually tried to write one of those books. I gave up. It's insane. It's insane. You have to do all this mapping and then figuring out how this fits with that. I want, no, too much work. But with the rise of AI, creating interactive and virtual reading experiences is going to be easier and eventually completely accessible to anyone who wants to write a book. We already have augmented reality. You put a QR code in your book and it takes them to a video or whatever. Well, soon the person's going to like open an ebook and then it's going to like come up with like a little hologram or they'll put on those fancy goggles, and then they'll read a passage, and then suddenly, you know, the characters will be there in three dimensions. And this is going to change how we write books and how we read them both. It's kind of exciting. I can't wait to start playing around with that kind of technology. This next one, this one's been growing over a few years, and that's the sustainability factor. A lot of people are moving to ebooks because they don't want to kill trees. And they don't want to contribute to the carbon footprint or whatever like that. So this mindfulness of sustainability is pushing people more and more to audiobooks and ebooks. Does that mean that the physical book will die out? No. But the paper that those books are printed on is going to become greener, not as in the color green. Basically, it's going to have more recycled papers, things like that. And if you can be a part of that, make your book more green, so to speak, then do it, because this will attract a certain demographic that finds that particularly of interest. And finally, the last trend I want to talk about is the future of libraries and public access. I don't know if you've been to a library recently, but libraries are increasingly able to loan you ebooks, which, by the way, was amazing in helping me do some research for my next book, which I hope will come out this year. I intend for it to come out this year, because now you can access books that they can't carry in the library, and you can borrow it and you can print out pieces of it. It's great for research. It might be good for reading as well. But libraries are going to continue to adapt to the new ways. I mean, I can see a future in which libraries have the 3D goggles so that you can read the books that way. They might even have fully immersible rooms where you can like a hologram from Star Trek, where you like input the book you want to read. You go into the room, you turn it on, and have an experience of the book. And that's not something that people are going to be able to have at home. They're only going to be able to do it at libraries and maybe cafes and whoever decides to integrate this kind of technology into their business. Again, that's way in the future or not. Technology is happening faster and faster. So who knows? Who knows what's coming next? I highly suspect that the future of reading is not going to look like someone sitting in a cozy chair by a fireplace, curled up with their favorite book. It's going to be way more futuristic. And maybe they'll have flying cars. That would be nice. This is Karma Spence saying, ciao for now. I hope you found this episode interesting and entertaining. And I would love to hear what you think about your ideas of the future of reading. Ciao.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Author Switch podcast and would like to show your support, there are a few ways that you can do that. First, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Additionally, leaving a rating and review would greatly help me reach more listeners and continue providing valuable content. To stay up to date with the Author Switch podcast and gain access to additional information on amplifying your authority, influence, and thought leadership through books, you can follow me on LinkedIn at Karma Spence. For those interested in catching up on previous episodes, including those no longer available on podcast platforms, you can find them all at authorswitch.com/episodes, where you can choose to watch or listen to them at your convenience. Thank you so much for your support and for being a part of the Author Switch community.